Welcome to the Virgo Experience Podcast. I am Charisse.
And I'm Charisse.
And we are back again. And you all are going to get a treat because the way this memory is set up, I just realized I never posted that the other episode from last week.
Oh, you did? Up. No.
Listen, I'm a side note real quick. I do not know what is going on like the last month or so, or maybe even longer. I can literally not remember passwords. I have been resetting my passwords almost every single time I have to log into something. And I do have a lot of passwords, but I'm like, I can't remember them. But me being in IT, I'm trying not to write them down because I have advised many folks of not writing your passwords down. But
you have to, right?
You're not supposed to. No, you shouldn't write them down. Well, if you have to write them down, see, when I was working on site, when I used to be a support tech and I worked on site, people, they wouldn't even be like secure. Honey, I walked up to people's desk, they be on just on a post-it note stuck to the monitor. They be on the end of the keyboard. They be on the on the mouse pad under mouse pad, under the keyboard. As soon as you open the drawer, it just be like so, like just laying there. And I just be like, y'all can't do that. I mean, I know y'all have to write them down because you have to write them down, but at least try to make them not all be the same password and at least try to store it somewhere where I can't just walk up and get it. Because most people use passwords that are like their kid's name, their street name, their favorite sports team, their favorite food, flowers, pets, things like that. And you usually, a lot of times, can guess people's things. Like, say, for example, if somebody loves the cards, it would be like CARDS. No, it would be like Go Cards 1, 2, 3.
Now that's just stupid.
I'd be like, ma'am, sir, I need you to change that. I need you to
make it rah rah shish goomba.
No, they have forgot that already. Mm-mm. That will be forgotten before I even leave the area. And then people will change their password and then they will call me and be like, do you remember what I changed my password to 3 weeks ago? I'd be like, no, I don't even remember what I did yesterday. So I definitely can't help you. I can barely remember my password. No. And that was a long time ago. So anyway, I absolutely forgot to post that last week's episode is up. So you all will get last week's episode and this week's episode. So I guess happy Veterans Day, I guess. Mm-mm. Or, you know, we appreciate
y'all.
We
just wanted to give y'all something to listen to.
Yeah, so y'all have plenty to listen to this week. Y'all can break it up in increments of 30 minutes while, you know, if you go walk or when your kids is getting on your nerves, or your boss has said something slick, or you done went and got your high LG&E bill out the mail. It'll give you something to distract yourself with. So,
talking about passcodes. So yesterday I was trying to create a passcode for something, and it was very weird when it popped up and said, iPhone has come up with a random passcode for you, and I could either use that passcode or I had the option to create my own. And it was like, iPhone is saving in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And something. I'm just like, I don't know if I want iPhone saving anything in the cloud, you know, as far as a password.
No, I don't want anything. You know what? Because I do, on my iPhone, I do have some passwords saved. But hell, by time, if anybody took my phone and tried to get into them, I've already reset it 17 times because I didn't forget them. So you really ain't going to get no information out of whatever accounts that it, you know, possibly be saved, because I'll reset it on my computer, but I won't, you know, go back in and reset it on my phone. So, no, you ain't gonna get nowhere. I'm sorry, Freddie. Well,
I tell you what, before we move on, I tell you, like, when we was in Florida, I went to the restroom, and we was at the beach. And so I went to the restroom, and I had my flashlight because I have these transitional lenses. And mm-hmm. so when you walk in, your lenses are still kind of tinted. So I really couldn't see that well. So I had my little flashlight out, and I set it down on the, because I went in the handicap style. And I set it down on the paper towel thing because it had its own sink and stuff. And don't judge me. And so I walked out without my phone. Well, my watch wasn't connected to my phone, but luckily I had given my daughter access to track me. So she tracked my phone to the exact location where it was at the bar area because somebody took it out the bathroom and took it to the manager at the bar. So
good. Still nice people in the world.
Yes. So even though we're talking about passcodes, we said something about iPhones, and I would just like to encourage our listeners to turn on that tracking location just in case of an emergency, because I need my phone. So that's my little announcement for iPhone.
I have my tracking on. Well, my daughter and I share our location all the time. I mean, that's the only person I share my location with. Like, now, when I go out of town, I will share it with other people. But for the most part in the city, I will share it, you know, well, my daughter and I share our location, because I, whether in the city or out of town, I don't want to end up as a Saturday Night Dateline special. I don't want any of my friends to have to be interviewed because nobody knew where I was and what happened. So
Sharice's episode is coming on tonight. No.
she didn't turn the location on like she said she was. She done popped up out of town and she was gone. So so yes, make sure y'all turn y'all location on. Now, I don't, for y'all Android users, I can't help y'all. Y'all have to Google and figure out what y'all do. I can't help y'all on that tech side. I don't know. I can tell you on the iPhone side, but not that Android. And I don't even know if Windows still makes phones or not. So, and if you got a Windows phone, I definitely can't help you with that either. So anyway, so I guess we'll share some good news and start it off before we kick off the foolishness for the night. In ATL news, young Jock and Kendra got married, I believe, either over the weekend or within the last week or so. They were supposed to get married last year, but of course, you know, the panorama / panini / pandemic came around, and it shut down a whole bunch of people's wedding plans and situations and whatever, whatnot, but they are now husband and wife. I don't even know what Young Jock's real name is. I know that they've said it on like Love and Hip Hop, but it's not one of those names that I remember, because you know how you just, with certain celebrities, you always just call them whatever their like moniker is. Why are you upside down on your photo?
I was messing with the background.
It is throwing me off. So I don't even know what Young Jock's real name is. Let me look it up, because now I'm gonna need to know. See, I hope one day all this random information that I look up and I know, it helps me out in some way.
Oh, I found it. Jaceel. That's that's what his wife called him, Jaceel.
That's what it is. Yes, I have heard that on Love and Hip Hop. Yeah, she does. She don't call him Young Jock like everybody else, or Jock, as everybody else calls him. So they have now tied the knot, along with they didn't get all married together. Myetta Shaw, which is Neo's ex-fiance, she was on the show Atlanta. What is that show? Atlanta Wives.
They had R. Kelly's wife on there.
She was on the LA version. Drea Kelly was on the LA version, but Mayetta was on the Atlanta version with Usher's ex-wife and some other people. What is the, is it, is Atlanta Wives? Atlanta Exes. Maybe that's what it's called. And I think it, and the other one was LA Exes. Is that what it says? I think that's what it was called. I actually like the show. I don't know why they, why both of them get canceled, but I actually like the, you know, like the show, because like on the, we're getting sidetracked, but we'll come back. The one in LA had like Nicole Murphy, which was Eddie Murphy's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of that girl's name, but she was Prince's ex-wife. And then it was like a baseball player's ex-wife, and then Drea, R. Kelly's ex-wife, was on her. And I feel like it might have been some other people, but I can't remember offhand. And then they had the Atlanta version with those two, but I feel like it was some other people on her. But I can't think of what their name is. See, just random information, no. But I can't remember a password that I reset yesterday. Why? I don't know the way this mind works. Anyway.
And this is the one who Neo told her he didn't want to have no more kids. And she got fixed, right?
Allegedly. She got her tubes tied.
And then he met somebody else and had more babies. Okay. All right.
Yes. That just crystal girl. Sure. That is correct. Yes, that is the story that is on the street, and that's what was told on the show. So she got married this weekend, and she does have two kids by Neo and the guy that she got married to. I think they said his name was Heath, and he has a daughter as well. And of course, you know, people in both weddings. It's the Atlanta scene. So a lot of them, you know, a lot of celebrities know each other, like T.I. and Tiny, Candy and Todd, Nicole Murphy, RL's wife. I can't think of what her name is. Ludacris and his wife. I think his wife's name is Eudoxy. And then like LaToya Luckett, you know, all those, all of them are like all close and all kind of run in the same circle. So Young Jock and Kendra and Mayetta Shaw and her husband, I think it said it was, his name was Heath, and they is eyes married now. All right, so that is the happy news. Yay. Now on to divorce news. Well, old Stevie,
why does Tiny's boob look, one look bigger than the other? I ain't trying to look, but I'm like, they poking out of this dang on dress, and it's like, this stuff look lopsided, girl.
She probably need to adjust her dress, or, you know, like, push it, adjust
okay,
her.
Well, you being nice about it, but one look bigger, like the meat is, I don't know. I ain't gonna examine her breast, but that, I mean,
oh, Lord.
It just throws me off. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So Stevie and Faith Evans are in the midst of a divorce now. Stevie filed for divorce. I didn't hear what the reason was, but they just got married in like 2018. However, they had they had some type of domestic violence issue. And Faith ended up getting arrested. And so I don't know what the reason is. This is Stevie's first marriage, and this is Faith's third marriage. So,
you know, I was listening to this. I was listening to Gary with the T talk about this, and then, you know, the Brat chimed in. And what ticks me off a little bit is how we, you know, when it comes down to a man putting his hands on a woman, of course, you know, 1,000,000%, it's going to be an issue. You know what I'm saying? Rightfully so. But when it's done the other way around, when it's the woman putting her hands on a man, Faith Evans, you know what I'm saying, and Stevie J, allegedly, you got people like the brat who she didn't say it was okay, but she almost
like implied
like it was, like if she said something like, oh darn it, I wish I would have wrote it down, but it was something to the fact that Faith ain't gonna be putting up with none of that cheating mess, and she ain't the one to mess with. That's not okay. I'm sorry. I don't care if she came home and he had a visitor in the bed. For her to put her hands on him, and for people to just dismiss it.
A lot of times like it's okay. A lot of times mm-hmm. it is dismissed when it's a woman putting her hands on a guy, and or if you're in a domestic partnership or marriage to same sex, it doesn't get the same type of not the same type of attention, but the same type of like grace, or mm-hmm. like
because it's just two women fighting, not two men fighting,
or two men fighting, or things yeah. like that. But domestic violence happens across the board, and it does need to be talked about, because there are some women that are very violent towards their mm-hmm. partner, whether it's a man. Well, most people, I'm just going to say this. What I've learned is most people usually think domestic violence is usually always between a man and a woman. But nowadays it's different because there are same-sex couples, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I don't think it's taken with as much, what word am I looking for? It's almost taken, I don't know if with a grain of salt is the right word, but it's not taken as seriously as it is usually when it's a man putting his hands on a woman. But now I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. In some cities, if the police are called, and there was a actual, say for example, it was assault was on both sides. Man assaulted the woman assaulted the man. Everybody goes to jail. I've seen that like on the TV shows before, where everybody goes to jail and they both catch a domestic violence case. I don't think it's like that here in Louisville, but don't get me wrong. I'm actually going to look it up. So yeah, so they are getting a divorce, and now.
Well, good for them if they separating, you know, and because they know that this ain't going to work. He fouled, so.
Well, what yeah. I hope it don't end up being like is with Princess and Ray J, and she fouled, she fouled, take it back, he fouled, take it back. She say she gonna do it again, don't, and then he fouled, and then she find out on TMZ. I hope it don't be that kind of, you know.
How many times?
Back and forth and whatever, whatnot. So that is,
I don't need all to judge the fine folks for being stupid.
Well, honey, the court dockets will be absolutely crammed 24 hours, 7 days a week if people could get fined for being stupid. Hell, I might even be down there in front of a judge a time or two, because honey, I definitely have done some stupid things in my life. So that is what's happening down in the ATL, and the Love and Hip Hop / Atlanta X's / yeah, down there in the Georgia Peaches news cycle. Now let's skedaddle on over just a little bit.
Not skedaddle.
Skedaddle on over. About three hours and 32 minutes over to Love and Marriage Huntsville. I have not watched the latest episode, but I have listened to a review regarding the episode. And you had posted a question for tonight. And if you all watch Love and Marriage Huntsville, or if you all just watch pretty much any reality show where like a divorced couple is on there, a recently divorced, a long-time divorced couple, or whatever the case may be, a freshly divorced couple, where what whatever you want to insert, does your hurt have an expiration date? Now, do you want to explain that?
Or Well, on the episode, you see Martell and Melanie. They are continuously going through the same old stuff that they was going through, the last two episodes?
The whole season.
Yes. And what upsets me is this, and maybe I'm naive. I don't know. But I'm not saying that I sympathize with Martell, but the man's already down. Don't keep kicking him. I feel like, and I think I said on the last podcast, I feel like she's just really just digging her heels in him. And I feel like she knows how to push his buttons, what buttons to push.
How much power she has over him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that right now, like I think it was Marceau said, she's winning and that's affecting him, which I get it. You know, he shouldn't be, he shouldn't be in his feelings about it, but it is affecting him emotionally. It's affecting his ego. It's affecting his manhood.
And his wardrobe.
And
because he can't seem to get the right shirt out of the closet that ain't extra tight. Go,
we need
go
that
ahead.
Button to go. Not his wardrobe, sorry, Lord Jesus. Oh my God. But I feel it's times when I feel like, okay, he's trying. Now, of course, I'm just watching what
like
what,
everybody else.
Like everybody else, what didn't get cut off the editor's floor or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she just keeps poking the bear. I think it's something noble about a man wanting to get full custody, which he mentioned that in the last episode. I don't know his reasons behind it, but the simple fact that you are considering it is a noble gesture to me. But they are sitting and having this conversation. If I hear the comeback group one more time, I'm going to drive to Huntsville. And I'm just going to smack everybody across their face at that table. The comeback group. I'm so sick and tired. The comeback group was non-existent episode one. It was done. Like, they already knew we are not working together, so on and so forth. I don't know if they keep bringing it up because this is what the show was supposed to be about.
Correct. Right.
So you have all them, and you have Martell, who is struggling. He does not have that builder's license thing. And so they go into Melanie's office now. He comes in. I don't know what took place beforehand. What the editor showed me on Sunday nights, it just shows him walking in. He's at one end of the table and she asks, where are the kids? And he says, oh, they in the office. What office? And he's like, your office, you know? And she's like, she said, I can't remember what the heck she said, but it was like she came with some venom. And it's like, whoa, Nelly, calm down, girl. Like, why are you getting so tense? But see, at that point, when she jumps, he's like, what was all that for? You know? And so then she goes in there with the kids and then she comes back out and she's still just spewing that venom. And he is expected just to take it. Now, the other thing I don't like, this is about friendship. Marceau made a comment, and I talked to my husband about this yesterday, because to me, this is not a real friend. They are on national TV, right? Mm-hmm. He's already struggling. He's already talking to Maurice about bankruptcy and all this other stuff. So, and this was like probably that conversation is probably about 2-3 episodes ago. So you have Marceau, who Martell is trying to partner up with to build on the 40 acres. And so then after this whole conflict back and forth with Melanie and all these M's, Lord Jesus, with Melanie and Melanie and Martell, said and got confused. Melanie and Martell, Marceau then makes a comment against old boy, but he kind of says it like he doesn't mention Martell's name, but it's like, we know who you're talking about. But then it shows another scene where him and his brother go to play tennis, and he says he says something about, I would never do business with Martell as long as he has this conflict going on. You saying that to your brother with cameras rolling, that's foul. You saying it to your brother when cameras are not rolling, that's one thing. But right now you have everybody who watches the show thinking, if his own friend
won't do business
why with him, should I? Exactly. I have an issue with that, because if you're friends, even though y'all going through some stuff, y'all still friends. Why are you affecting his business? Why are you affecting his money? I understand Maurice's concern, because he's like, I can't put my name on the line because it's understandable. He said, my family eats off my business. I get mm-hmm. it. But like I said, there are some conversations that you have when the cameras are not rolling. And that most definitely, sir, is not one of them. Because that will forever be what is rolled. What, you know, I can go watch this show 6 months from now. If that episode is there, guess what I'm going to see? That he, you know what I'm saying,
your ain't going to work with his friend. Your own long-time friend.
Well, yeah. So mm-hmm. I know that was a lot, but the original question that I had came up with was, does your hurt have an expiration date? Because they just have a lot of back and forth. And it seems like Melanie has moved on. And I feel like she's moved on because she's on top. Martell on the other end, I feel like he has not moved on, because supposedly she was in a restaurant with another guy. He was at that restaurant. This was their favorite restaurant. And so he felt the way. He told her he was at the table doing a business deal, but he left that table to go approach her. Sir, I'm going to need you to pull up your big boy underwear. And I'm going to need you to let her be. She don't want you. And that's not saying that you can't still be in your feelings, but he don't have to act on them. So what I just do? Okay. He don't have to act on them. So I don't think there is a expiration date for hurt, but it's how you address that hurt. It's how you deal with it that can be an issue. Like she called him while he's at a work site talking about, because it was after, it was like the next night, and she was like, can I come see you? He's like, well, we can talk now. And he knew he had done something wrong. And she was like, no, I want to talk to you face to face. And he was like, okay, you know, come on and come through, whatever. And she's like, let's talk about boundaries. And I'm like, isn't this ironic? How are you going to talk about boundaries, but yet you want to have a personal conversation at work? You can't roll up on my job wanting to have a personal conversation.
Interrupting
and then daddy. Want to talk about boundaries. Like, and then want to yell and fuss at me as I'm walking away, and you got my neighbors peeping all out the windows looking as I'm trying to, and I'm over here trying to build a house, and them wondering like, what the heck is going on? You know, like, but yeah, you want to have a conversation about boundaries.
I feel like, okay, we're going to rewind back to season one, because the comeback group was supposed to I'm going to put that in quotation so y'all imagine, was supposed to show these three Black couples, along with, I believe it was supposed to be some other people, but mainly these three Black couples were going to be showing that they were going to build on the 47 acres. They were going to build this subdivision. It was going to be great. It's going to be great for Huntsville. Have you ever been to Huntsville, Alabama? Well, remember I said it's like Frankfort. That's what it reminds me of. It's big enough. It got a college in it. It's close to other stuff. But it's not like Louisville. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same size as Louisville. But it's a decent size. Actually, wait a minute. It has, because it has Alabama A&M. And I, wait a minute, I'm going to have to look it up because it might have another big college down there. But I definitely know Alabama A&M is down there or either on the outskirts. Anyway, the point is that it was going to showcase this. But like you said, once the show aired and it, they actually continued with the show, is when all the craziness started with Martell. Actually, I'm just going to call him Telly, and because I can't, I'm going to call him Telly, like the Telly on Sesame Street. That's what we're going to go with. So everything started with Mel and Telly and the whole cheating scandal. So I feel like for the last three seasons, it's just been nothing but emotion, raw emotion, absolute raw emotion between those two. And just think, that's been what, 3 years maybe, I'm assuming, time-wise, that's a long time for all of that raw emotion just to be constantly, you all are back and forth at it. You know, like season one, it was the cheating. Season two is a divorce. Season three is post-divorce. And it's like it never really ever like disconnected or had time to like rest, or at least what we see anyway, because it's like, okay, from my understanding, usually like the Real Housewives of Atlanta, they it usually airs in what, like September? Is that right? Usually like
I don't know.
Okay, well, usually like, let's just say it usually airs, I think it usually airs in like September. But they start, so it aired in like September, October, you know, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, and May.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's say 8 to 9 months, but they are already filming. They start filming again, usually in like November for the next season. So my point being is that to us, it seems like, to us as the viewers, it seems like all that emotion, all those emotions and heartache and hurt, all everything that goes along with that, it's like it never dies down for them. So it's almost like nobody, they never get a break from it. And so I think that with that being said, is that I don't know if your hurt has an expiration date per se, but I think you have to come out of that environment. I feel like because they're in that environment, and that's what my point is. It's just what I'm just saying from a viewer. It seems like, okay, we air in, you know, January, we air in September, and all the things that went on the last 9 months are now on TV and the internet and whatever. And then we start airing again, and then we start filming, just say November, December, and it starts up again. So pretty much, it just seems like pretty much your whole year is just a raw emotion of that situation. And it never really, it feels like they never really get any rest per se from it, because it's airing, it's either airing or it's filming. Like they don't have a winter break, a spring break, a fall break, a summer break. Now they may, but to us, it doesn't seem as though they get it. So therefore, it's going to seem to us that they're always like at each other. And like now on the reviews that I did watch, they said Melanie was like, because somebody, was it Kimmy? Kimmy and Mar- okay, we'll come back to that. Kimmy and Maurice that asked, or was it Tisha and Marceau that asked, how do we fix this? And Mel said, just don't.
Kimmy.
Okay. Said, how do we fix this? And I think Melanie said, just don't invite me to stuff. Now, I absolutely agree, because Huntsville is small. And they probably run around in the same circles and whatnot. So they probably don't need to be invited to the same events. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't need to be. If y'all have a barbecue on this Saturday, invite Martell. If y'all have a barbecue in 2 more weeks, invite Melody. Because I feel like it's so much like rah-rah energy between them. It just throws the mood off, just like the Vegas trip. Listen, I would have left Airbnb and went and got me a place.
But she does stuff, Shireese. Like, why would you play that song in front of your, you know what I'm saying, in front of him to, you know, knowing that it's going to get riled up? You don't have to be in love with him anymore. I mean, because let's be honest, she's still hurt too. Yeah. But her hurt is coming out a different way, because if she wasn't, I don't think she would even give him a time of the day. Like, if she wasn't hurt, I don't think even being in the same room would affect her. My way of getting over things may be kind of crazy to some people, but I feel like you have to, I don't want to say torture, but you have to eventually get used to being around that person, and you get used to being around that person by being around that person. If this is someone who, let's say you're dating someone that you work with, I'm not going to stop going to lunch at the time I was going to lunch, because that's the time you go to lunch, and now since we're not together, you're eating with her. No, I'm going to continue to go to lunch. You might even see me in the hallway staring you down, like with a death stare. But that's just my way of, I have to get used to you. I have to continue to look at you until looking at you no longer hurts me.
Bothers you.
And I have to do that. And it comes eventually. And you have to stop responding. He's stupid because he keeps responding,
and she does too. I feel like they both, because like I said, to us as viewers, it seems like it's this constant like you know, like energy every time they're in the same room. And they, and even if they only film and it takes 30 minutes, but it really looks like they've been in a room for 4 hours. It just seems like the whole 4 hours they've just been in her, like, like Transformers, just in her fighting and like, and you just like, why y'all even trying to work on a project together? Like, ain't it other projects y'all can work on? Can't somebody fly out to Chicago and do a project? Or can't somebody, can't Mel do a project in Atlanta? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand.
But see, that she's being vindictive.
Here's the thing. I think it's, like I said, this is me. I feel like, from what I've seen, I feel like they do it to each other because they know what gets under each other's skin. And that emotion is still so raw, because it's one thing for you to get a divorce and then you all don't share any kids and everybody goes their own way. It's another thing to get a divorce, y'all share kids and y'all still talk to each other and emotion is still raw. Another thing to get a divorce, share kids, and you also have another baby outside of this marriage. Why you were married, separated, in the midst of divorce, after divorce, whatever the case may be. Then it's another thing to get a divorce, share kids, have another baby, and be on TV. Like, so it's all, it ain't even just like one layer. It's like two or three different layers. So that's why I say, I feel like they do it to each other. Now, do I feel do I feel like every time they get in the same room or they have to film together, that is complete like chaos between them two? No, I feel like at some point they have to talk to each other civilly because they have four kids together. But what we see is just, ugh. So I understand kind of where Kimmy was coming from is like, I don't like this energy. Like, you know, we've been in situations before and we just kind of like, I don't like this. This yeah. energy is wrong. Like it, I don't like this. And so you might stay in it, but when you come home, when you leave, you like, don't ever put me in that situation again, or I won't ever put myself in this situation mm-hmm. again, because I don't want to be in the midst of a situation, because they're probably all good friends. And because I believe the only person that hasn't been around, that's been around the shortest amount of time, I believe is Kimmy. All of them, I believe, went to Alabama A&M together. So if they're like our age, hell, we went to K-State in, what, 97? So it's been, mm-hmm. my daughter. So it's been 23 years. That's a long time to know somebody, you know? So the thing is, it's just, it's for me, I just still see that energy. Now, does the hurt have an expiration date? Eventually it will. Is it one that you're going to like set and just be like, you know what, December 31st 2020 at 11:58, actually I'm gonna start at 11:50, I'm gonna start meditating because at 11:59:59 this hurt's gonna be gone, and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna chuck deuces and chuck it in the trash, and then I'm gonna start fresh. That usually is not how it usually works when you yeah. are hurt. I emailed some folks last night, and I said, my question was, do you forgive the offense? Do you forgive the person and the offense first, or do you forget the person and the offense first? Which one? And I guess it kind of depends on the person and their relevancy in your life and what the offense was.
I think I have to forget you in order to forgive forgive the offense.
Either do you forgive the person and their offense to you first? Do you forgive the person and what they did to you first, or do you forget the person and the offense first? Which one comes first, the forgiving or the forgetting?
Ooh, it's almost like they have to, for me, it's almost like they have to come close to the same time.
Okay.
That's... because you have to no longer be a factor to me.
Okay.
You know, and once you're no longer a factor, once I feel like you're no longer a factor, then that means that I don't even know if it's necessarily forgiven you for what you did, mm-hmm. but I don't care anymore because you've shown me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of happens for me at the same time.
Let me think. Because I don't know what. I text all my friends random thoughts all hours, day and night. So I don't know. I think it depends. Like I said, how that person is, where that person fits in your life, and also the magnitude maybe of said offense. I think for me, what will probably be best in this crazy mind is to be able to completely forget it through like electroshock therapy.
Um,
Can you tell us your name and tell us who the president is? Can you tell us what your favorite food is? And if I wake up and say liver, y'all know y'all went too far, because right. I absolutely hate liver. Don't ever give me that in any way, shape, or form.
How they say pork.
I'd be like, now I can take that. I can go back to a pork chop, maybe one day. But liver, no. Y'all done scrambled it too much. Somebody done turned it up too high, or the plug came out. I don't know what happened, but yeah, y'all done messed me up. So for me, I think probably what would work best is forgetting the person in said offense, which basically would the forgiving would come. I mean, well, I don't really know if I need to really forgive you per se. I just would rather forget the person and what they did. And then, you know, whatever happens after that. But that, I mean, those two questions are kind of, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. So we might have to put that up on as a poll. Now I'm going to try to remember to put that as a poll.
Well, it goes to the thing, you know, what I was going to say about Martell, and it kind of goes along with your question. The person has to realize and accept what they did.
That's another factor in it. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Because it's not to say that you ain't never going to do anything wrong. You know, like with Martell's situation, he cheated. So, I mean, you can be upset because you're no longer married, because your wife has decided to move on and she didn't want you anymore. But you can't be all up in her face and be getting smart when not only did you cheat, but you also have a cheat baby. Mm-hmm. So you have a product of
the cheatation.
Your cheat. Yeah, yeah. I love it. Your cheatation. Like, and this baby is going to be, has to be a part of your other children's lives. And that creates
more chaos.
Yes. Especially with social media involved. And it just becomes.
It's TV. Much. And it lives forever. It's on the internet. Go ahead. I'm thinking.
One of them need to decide, I'm falling back. That's the responsible thing to do. They need to decide who's going to be on the show. And whoever is on the show cannot talk about the other person.
So they're going to pull a Destiny in the brick.
Yeah.
Guy.
They'll have to,
bricklaying chicken fryer.
Yeah. They'll have to because even when I think about them in the beginning, like it started rocky because when they signed the contracts and were starting the show, when they did the pilot, I believe is when all this cheating stuff came out, but yet you still had another baby by him, and she's a blessing. I'm not trying to say anything otherwise. However, you knew about it, you dealt with it, and that tells a man something, especially a selfish man like Martell. I feel like it tells him something, you know, without saying it, that you were okay with it because you're still there and you still had a baby. And how do you have a baby? Unprotected. You know what I'm saying? So you knew he was out there with somebody else and you still opened up the doors and let him flood the door, let him flood the walls. So, yeah, girl. So you got to take responsibility for that. Love on your baby. I'm not trying to say otherwise, but they all have to look and say, this is the role that I play. I let you think, and see, this is the problem. Sometimes as women, when we try to be strong in situations, like maybe she was trying to be strong and I got three children with this man and I'm going to stay here for my family and so on and so forth. But yet, in his mind, it's she's okay with what I did. she has obviously forgiven me. She has this, but we're not opening up our mouths and saying, because now he's also trying to blame all the issues that they had with their friends
of course.
On her. It's like, come on, Martell. Like, really? I can only support you when you're right. You know what I'm saying? Or when she goes overboard. But come on, bro. You've been a little foolish now. We'll see what happens. I'm done with them.
There is a Beyonce song. And I know it's plenty other songs, but it just made me think of it. And I cannot remember the name of it. But it's something about, and I feel like, let me see, Irreplaceable. It's like right after, I think it's right after, like, let me see. I think it's right after
Irreplaceable. What's the song you told me about one night?
And it's like something about, like, you lied to me and I can, like, you basically had a baby and I can see it in her eyes. And now there's a product of, you know, you and her. What in the hell was the name of that song? Now, y'all, I'm going to have to go look and be up at, or either when I go to sleep, I'll wake up at 3 a.m., at 3:27 a.m., thinking about, like, what is the name of that song. I'm gonna have to look it up, and I'm gonna take, because somebody will probably know, but I feel like it's right at the Irreplaceable, and it kind of trails off and it talks about cheating and whatnot. I'm gonna have to find it. Anyway, okay, so I will post those two questions as a poll if I can figure it out on Instagram, honey, because these granny fangers on Instagram.
Girl, I hate posting stuff on Instagram. I can't get it together.
I'm going to need to watch a YouTube video, since I'm on all the damn time, about posting on Instagram. Anyway, so let's move on to one more crazy foolish. Well, we got two more foolish things. Real quick. Oh, Fetty Wap. I'm like, yeah, she's fine. Wonder when she'll be right. She walk past, I press rewind. See that as one more time. And she got me sold up. Listen, when I need to get myself hype, like AKA when my neighbors get on my nerves, or somebody says something smart aleck, that song is the number one thing on my list. I really like Fetty Wap when he came out. I don't really know we talked about this on the last podcast, which we hope y'all listen to. Remember we talked about athletes and entertainers and mismanagement of money?
Yes.
I feel like this is where, let me tell you the name of that song, then we're gonna get on to what old Fetty Wap has done. Let's see. It is, nope, that's not the playlist. What is
Oh dang. I didn't know he had a live whatchamajigga out here.
Who?
Fetty Wap.
What is the name of that song? And who done messed up my list over here? Because I had my list in order and together. Hold on, y'all. I'm coming. I got a list. Something happened to my list. Oh, it's at the bottom. Fetty Wap 679 featuring the Remy Boys. I don't know what it is. I like it, and we're gonna go with it. So let's pull up what happened to old Fetty Wap, and I'm sad to kind of hear this. What? Come on, what you call it? FBI release pics of drugs and $1.5 million from Fetty Wap's alleged cocaine and heroin ring. So he was arrested last month by the FBI in New York at the Rolling Loud Festival. He's been indicted on federal drug charges, including the distribution of heroin, fentanyl, and cocaine. Wap, whose real name is Willie Maxwell Jr.
Oh, that's a good Willie
J. y'all seen that boy Willie around here? I done told him to be home before the lights come on.
Right. Willie, get your ass in here, boy.
You're acting crazy, just like your father.
Right.
Him and five other New Jersey men were all accused of distributing at least 100 kilos of cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl. 100 kilos is a hell of a lot of drugs. Like, man, you going to jail. Like,
yeah, that's why he's facing life.
If the FBI is on to you, you are going to jail. Like, you're not going to county jail. You're not going, you know, like, you're not going to be in state prison. You're going to federal prison. 100 kilos.
Isn't this the stuff that people are doing and they're mixing and people are dying from a mixture of this stuff?
I hope not all three. I hope not cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl. But fentanyl does. You can't. Well, I mean, you can OD on probably all three of them. Yeah. But I know fentanyl is really one of the big ones. But 100 kilos is a hell of a lot. So let me.
I think
see
the fentanyl says. Was mixed with the heroin because a couple of comedians died from overdoses.
They did. Like two or three comedians, not. It wasn't last month, I don't think. Maybe it was in September. Mm. They were at a party. And yeah, three comedians died, I think.
Let me see what they took.
So they had $1.5 million in cash. What?
That was his bonus from his record, his advance.
I'm gonna pause. WAP, who was just released on a 500K bond. Oh my God, he actually got out. I'm very surprised.
Yeah,
I'm very surprised that he got out with that much weight. Along with the four other men, they've been charged with conspiring to distribute and possess controlled substance.
Do you really think they gonna serve life? Because it's someone bigger than them, Charisse.
It's always somebody bigger.
That's probably who they're going to want, because that's a lot.
It's somebody. It's always somebody bigger, because truth be told, we ain't the ones bringing it in. Us, I'm talking about us folk of color.
I know you and I ain't bringing it in.
I sure really ain't bringing it in, because, honey, if I'm bringing it that much, listen, all my friends, student loans is paid off, honey. Houses is paid off, student loans. They're going to be like, so you sold drugs, but you didn't buy, like, no Maserati and a blacked-out Wraith, and you wasn't living how to hold.
What are those?
we see that you paid off your friend's student loans. Yeah, because if I'm gonna do something illegal, I'm gonna make it count and help my friends out. Right. And why wouldn't I pay off my friend's student loans? Like,
and why and wouldn't I like, accept?
Right. And they'd be like, well, ma'am, we see that you still shop at Walmart and Target and we surveilled you at the Goodwill. You sure did, because that's how you keep it low key. And also, I'm not true. Listen, that's why it took y'all a long time to find me.
We see you still doing them buy one, get one free surveys to be on your receipts. Yeah,
We see that you was scanning your receipt for your Ibotta and your Fetch Rewards.
Right. Exactly. See, you started catching the bus again. Yeah, did. Yeah, did.
We followed you to Chick-fil-A. We saw you cashed in your rewards and got a free ice cream cone.
Why did I look at that money in that plastic bag like, okay, so three of them bags of money have to go Sally Mae. Like,
Like, ma'am, you are the low-keyest, like, normal drug trafficker we've ever seen. I am, because I'm not gonna go out and buy no damn first of all, I can't even walk in high heels, so there's no need for me to go buy $800 red bottles. So they have been charged with conspiring to distribute and possess controlled substances. Are also charged with using firearms in connection with drug trafficking. Wait a minute, I didn't get off track. I was going to say something. All the men
all face the King's life. Horses.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. I couldn't get me.
I already knew.
get my thoughts together, but that's what I was thinking of.
Oh my God. That's
exactly what I was thinking of. So all the men and all the, you know, king's horses. face life in prison. Right. Shoot. Look, they ain't gonna be able to put this drug I just want to know how the hell you go from, you know, well, we kind of know, but I would like, see, these are the kind of documentaries that I would like to watch and like see how like an entertainer goes, entertainer and people that, you know, stock market and athletes and so on and so forth, how they go from like poverty to millionaire to drug ring to homelessness to such and such. Let's say this real quick. The guy we said we was going to talk about real quick, the guy that just got released from the NFL, I think it was the Raiders. It's not the LA Raiders anymore. Girl, it's the Vegas. Listen, it's always going to be the, I don't really know much about sports, but it's always going to be the Raiders in LA. I think his name was, is it Suggs? Is that what we said? William, was it William Suggs that we said? Let me, I think it's William Suggs. I feel like that's William Suggs III. Nope, girl, that's a physician. Girl, I'm getting it. What is the guy that just got released? Let's see, NFL player involved.
Henry Ruggs III. Oh,
girl, I done said Suggs. I didn't pull up a physician on here. Listen, oh, it ain't him. Lord. So Henry Ruggs III was driving down the street or wherever he was driving. It was a 50, 55, maybe 65 zone, and he was doing 156. Now, let me side note. I have been in the car. These are my younger days. I've been in a car with somebody that's done 100 down the highway for at least about 20 miles. Just did a straight 100. Don't ask no extra questions. Children, don't drive that fast. And don't ride with nobody that drives that fast. All right, that's y'all PSA. Now back to regularly scheduled programming. So he was traveling. Now listen, USA Today, don't let me be nice and give me the, all right, MPI.
156 max.
100, now 100 was pushing it for me. I can't imagine what 156 miles an hour feels like in a car. Like, now, I think it probably would depend on what kind of car it is. Because if we're talking like sports cars, like, you know, like the BMWs, the Maseratis, the Porsches, the whatever other things I can't pronounce or afford.
A Corvette Stingray.
Okay, those kind of cars, they probably don't feel like you're driving 156 miles an hour. Now, if you take like a 2004 Honda Accord and try to drive 100 miles.
Girl. Your car gonna start shaking and let you know you're going too fast.
You know when you need to push the limit. So
right.
I'm not excusing him, but what I'm saying is I could see how you, it may not feel like you're doing 156. Now, whether he knew he was doing 156 or he did not, either way, 156.
Well, he was drunk.
And he was drunk. And then his girlfriend was also in the car with him. And he rear-ended another car. And he fatally wounded a woman by the name of Tina O'Tenter, 23, of Las Vegas. And her dog was also killed in the crash. He had a blood alcohol level twice Nevada's legal limit. I think our legal limit here in Kentucky is 0.08. Don't ask me why I know random stuff like that, because I do. I think that's what Kentucky's is. And so I wonder what Nevada's is, because, you know, so many people, especially, you know, with Vegas and the Strip, But either way, he shouldn't have been driving. That's one of those situations. You should have called an Uber. You could have called a car service.
Why did the girlfriend get in the car?
Because she more, I have a feeling, I'm just going to say allegedly, she was probably drinking too. And so you listen, how many situations have some of us in that we've been in, and we're not saying us, but we may have been in the situation or around it or know about it, or whatever the case may be. Kids, don't drink and drive. Okay, that's another PSA.
It looks like there's a 0.08, I think.
Yeah, that's what ours, I think that's what Kentucky's is. So I don't know. I don't think that's every state, but I feel like that's maybe what the most
that's common. That's Nevada's too. Yeah. Okay.
So if his was twice the legal limit, he was toasted. Yeah, and he just signed. I believe he just became like a football player. He probably didn't even get his first paycheck. But honey,
he is only 22. He's 22, but you know what?
And now he's facing life in jail, in prison. Go ahead.
This is what I say. Honestly, and I hate to even say it this way, but screw him. That's how I feel. I mean, I don't want nothing bad to happen to him. And I hate that a young Black male has had an opportunity and he has thrown his life away for something so stupid. But also, you are doing 156. This lady was, what, about a mile away from her home, her and her dog, and you got a car going 156, a Corvette Stingray.
Were they on expressway? That's what I never got.
Where the heck they were. But she was in a RAV4, Shireese.
Oh, well, a RAV4.
Her and her dog trapped in the car. And just burning. And I can't remember what it was that my daughter said, but his comments or something, I think she said, and I could be wrong, so I'll say allegedly, his comments, because it was a video, oh, my career is awful. Screw your career, dude. This woman and her dog are trapped. Could you imagine being trapped in a burning car and there nothing?
Listen.
Like, screw you, dude. Like, seriously.
Listen, you know that accident that we was almost in last year, and we was 30 seconds from that damn accident. Like, literally, actually wasn't probably even 30 seconds. It was probably a minimum of, what, 10, 15 seconds, and it could have been us witnessing that accident so close up. No, I don't ever want to. That wasn't nice. So, yeah, so his bail was set at $150,000, which was paid, which I'm very surprised that he got bail. But he is out of the he's out of the NFL, and
he should be out of the NFL. He should be facing murder charges, because I feel like anytime you get behind the wheel of a car and you are drunk, murder charges. I'm sorry, because what ticks me off is that you're so drunk, you don't just even bounce back.
You don't even realize how drunk sometimes drunk.
Exactly. You're not embracing, you're impaired.
And it's
the purse. Exactly. So
ooh, glad I'm passing. And now, I already never always, been a drunk driver, but I've known people.
And it's the person who is typically the person who was not the driver who ends up dying, because they see a wreck about to happen, and so they brace themselves. I've heard, if you see a wreck about to happen, try to go numb, try to go loose, because when you tense up and stuff, that impact,
it makes it worse.
Exactly. And so with him, he drunk. I don't know what his reaction was, but I'm like, dude, you need to find Christ. You need to find the Lord if you don't know him, because he is the only one that's going to be able to help you right now. Because what you did, taking that woman's life.
And I hate to even say that, it was just her. you know, because what if it had been, you know, wherever he was at, it could have been more people. So hopefully, you know, we're
here. Her car stopped him from killing somebody else.
Probably so.
It could have been a car full of a family coming from somewhere. Yeah. It's irresponsible. You have, and I got to go on my rant for a moment, but you have these, and I'll say men, because it's happened with a lot of football players, you have these men who are given the opportunity of a lifetime, Sharice. We are sitting here working every day, and I know football, it's not, I know it's not a game for them, it's a job, but you are going to work, getting your body beat up, but that's what you sign up for, right? To get your body beat up on
millions
of dollars,
racks
to
on,
live the
racks.
Life, right, to live the life that, and to have the lifestyle that so many of us would like to have. Like, you could literally play one season, and if you, and if you manage your money right, say, all right, I'm done, deuces, I got my money, I got my this, now I'm investing in the business, my mama, I didn't rent my mama a house, I didn't buy no Bentley, I didn't overspend. Talking about overspending, side note, you got and I don't want to say overspending for this person, but you got Offset, I believe, who misplaced a Bentley and who now owes $950,000. Like, come on, let's be better with our, when we have, you know what I'm saying, especially people who have these opportunities, and you know, like these football players, so let me get back on my thing, these football players, and it's just like, and then you go out here and you drink and you drive. You got Uber, you got Lyft, you got call a friend, which means literally to pick up a phone and call a friend. You got family. Why didn't your girlfriend stop you? Why did she get in the car with you? It's not fucking cool. Excuse my language. If you want to drive fast, go on the NASCAR track. But there is a car bed place.
You know, we've been in situations where people have been drunk, and they
we were young and dumb.
But and he was the same age as we were. That's my whole
but not
point.
No 156, Sharice.
Now we might have been doing no 156, but we have been in the car or been with somebody who thought, or folks who thought that they could drink, they were just as fine as wine on a normal day. And
show me receipts. I don't know what you're talking about.
That thought that they could drive home. And they was twisted. And that's one of the reasons why I've been the designated driver since 97. So, well, we'll see what happens with that. All right, last but not least.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Let's talk about Ready to Love real quick. This week's episode.
Oh, Sharice, I'm sorry. So I did look up the comedian thing. So with Fetty Wap, he was peddling the heroin, fentanyl, and the cocaine.
Right.
So I went and I looked up what the comedians died of, and they suspect that they died of an overdose of cocaine laced with fentanyl. There's a rapper, a white rapper, cannot think of his dang old name, but he, Machine Gun Kelly?
No, he's still alive, I believe. You talking about Mac Miller? Mac Miller, who died.
Yeah.
I think he died as well as an overdose. Yeah. Now, that might have been a couple of years. That was pre-pandemic, because I remember that. I don't know what his music is, but I do remember.
Stuff. But that black actor from that show,
The Wire. Yes, Michael Caine.
I want to say the same
loved
thing.
Loved him on the Wire.
Now, so this cocaine laced with fentanyl, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a problem. It's always gonna be a problem. It ain't going nowhere. Okay, real quick, Ready to Love. This week's episode, it was up to the ladies to decide who was going home. And we are going to try not to continually pick on him, but we are back on Corey again.
When you're raising your hand to be picked on, when you begging people. To be picked on, Shirey's now.
I don't know what his dating strategy is. I don't know what he wrote it out in his vision board planner. I don't know what kind of strategic board or post-it notes he got, cork board and dry erase board he got, you know, in his second bedroom. I don't know, but whatever he had before the show, I believe he tried to apply it to the ladies on this show. And maybe I'm just gonna assume that the ladies that are on the show, not all of them, but some of them fall for the antics that he has, and some of them are smart enough to see that they're not going to fall for his antics. Case in point, episode 2 of The Mixer, when they all was like, oh, you get a date, you get a date, you get a date, everybody gets a date with Corey, and they was all like, no, to say how you do us, and we all walked away. So like on this week, he was connected to Courtney, and how do you say her name? Mew? No. We're going to call her Mimi.
Who is it?
How do you say Mew? That's not right. And I absolutely despise butchering people's names because people chop and screw my name all the time. And always call me Clarice, and then always have to bring up the Silence of the Lambs, which I absolutely despise. Anyway, we're going to call her Mimi. So Mimi and Courtney both were, you know, dating Corey, per se, on the show. They were at the pool party, and he, you know, had went to Office Depot and got some back to school special 50% off index cards and wrote her a whole bunch of notes, you know, made them look like a tent, and put them around the pool party for her. And she, you know, Courtney thought that was great and lovely and doubly, and, you know, butterflies and unicorns and bubblegum. Anyway, so then he meets up with Mimi, and Mimi had talked to Tysia, and Tysia had informed her that Corey had left all these, you know, wedding like tent cards, nameplate cards around the way at the pool party for Courtney, and he basically deflected like a politician, and he never really answered the question, and then he threw in the, I feel like this is the, when I can't clear the case kind of
he was backpedaling. I'm talking about
if I can't get you to stop asking me the questions you're asking me, I'm gonna throw this in as one of my like dating specials, and here it goes. You know, I just want us to get to know you better. And you know what I want to do? I want to introduce you to my parents, because I just want you to feel like special, extra special, like double mint special, juicy fruit special, like just extra double mint special. That's what I want you. I just want you to feel great, because if you meet my parents, that means I'm really feeling you, and you know, you are just gonna be, you know, be the one. And fast forward to elimination table, Courtney is still pumped about her discount post-it note cards, and then Mimi says something about meeting the parents. Courtney says the same thing, Mr. Copy and Paste. And guess what? Corey goes home.
He needed to go.
He should have went home the first. To me, he should have went home the first, the mixer. I would have rather seen Lamont with his you know, church homecoming special suit on, and
Lamont. Look, I'm trying to think of Lamont.
I
think that's what his name was, Lamont. He went home. He was the first guy to go home, and he had them glass dark skinned guy with a beard.
Is that
and
your speaker?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I just heard something in the background. Like,
oh, that might be my heat. My heat coming on.
Okay.
Let me turn it up a little bit. Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, y'all. Technical difficulty. So he was the guy, the first guy that went home. And he had, you know who he was dressed like? Khalil, from how Khalil was dressed home and went home at the mixer last season. He was kind of dressed like a PTA dad.
Is he the one that busted out with the lyrics?
The spoken word. Yes.
Yeah.
And used the word penis in his spoken word on the first meeting. And he went home. I would have rather seen him and seen this, even if it was only episode 2 or 3 progress versus Corey. I don't know who picked him because he was just pure entertainment. I don't know how he functioned outside of. Well, we know that he only does first dates. Now, he may get second dates, but he said he went on 100 first dates last year during the panorama.
It's bad when I'm writing notes when I'm listening and I say, Corey is a BSer. He is so full of crap. Meeting his dad, his mom and dad, get serious. I see why he is single. He is about playing games. He is not ready to love. He needs to be ready to grow up. He can exit stage left. And then I get into Sydney. But I'm girl with Corey. I'm just like, I think that he is on here like, one, he don't want to be in the relationship. That's obvious. He just wants to.
He just don't know how to get there. I don't think he knows how to actually get past the first date, maybe the first or second date, and how to progress into a actual, from a date to actual relationship. I don't think that he knows how to make that happen, or he can kind of keep the woman's attention that long in order to make it to that point. But I feel like he does want to be in a relationship. He just doesn't know how to do it.
Corey is a dude wipe. He is that pack of dude wipes that you sit on the back of your toilet bowl. He is a butt munch. Like, because he plays these games where everything he does, nothing is spontaneous. It's all calculated. And like he said, I'm gonna do the cars for her and then make her feel special. And then the next day, I'm gonna do the something for him. I mean, for her, for the other girl, but yet you get caught up. Like, women are smart, dude. You get caught up, and I think he just wanted to get on the show and try to be a player. And guess what? You got played, because if you were really, I feel like if you were really there, ready for love, then when you got sent home, your response wouldn't have been like, I already knew that. Apologize for being a butt. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think he thinks that he is. Now, if you look at some of the other guys that we've had in past season, Corey is quite now. He's more on the corny side, where we basically had like the naive guy, the too shy guy, the aggressive guy, the guy that's a jerk. You know what I'm saying? Like, so. For me, Corey is not 100% bad, but like I said, I feel like he wants it, but he doesn't know how to get it. The problem is his methods out of the real world of let me date. I can take 10 girls on a date in 2 weeks, you know, 10 business days. I go on a date Monday through Friday for 2 whole weeks. And because DC is so big, more than likely, those girls are probably not going to interact and they're not in the same circle. However, on the show, even though they're not in the house like they were in Houston, they still are going to talk. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to talk to each other and say,
well, Corey left me these cards, but then he didn't leave me no cards. But then he said, I'm going to take you to, you know, get some of my mama's famous sweet potato pie. And I'm going to take you at 3 o'clock. And then I'm going to take you over here at 7 o'clock. His methods outside of the show do not work on this show, because the women actually talk, and then he doesn't know how, like I said, how to get past date, like the initial, and then maybe the date one, and maybe they make it date two, but then he doesn't know, like he doesn't have a strategy for anything past that. So it's like basically like
he don't need to
surface level. Now maybe this has taught him a lesson on, you know, on things, but I have a feeling. Now I have a feeling that more than likely he has probably went back to his, you know, to his dry erase board, and you know, and put some new stuff on, some new moves and things.
He don't need to put no moves on nobody till he have that sexual harassment HR training. Girl. That we talked about last week. I need to put no moves on nobody, because he's too touchy-feely, and he probably is that man that stand behind a woman in the gym. That's probably why he own a gym.
Yeah.
So that he can get him a free feel and look and stuff, you little nasty behind. I don't like Corey. He is one of them naive guys that will slip through the cracks and really have a woman thinking that he really likes me. He's feeling me. I'm falling in love with him. Just to find out that there's three other women who he didn't say the same stuff to.
Because it's copy. Yeah, copy and paste. Now.
Yes. Exactly. Until you go to his mama's house and she's like, at 3 o'clock. Did you like it? Yeah. Did you like that plate I sent you? What?
She's going to be like, what? I didn't. Oh. Right. Oh, that was at 3 o'clock. This is your 7 o'clock.
Right. You would never have, you know what I'm saying? Like, then when you bring in your parents, and then when the M girl tried to confront him about it, he was doing the back swim.
I told you,
I'm talking about he was in the Matrix. Oh, you know, like, come on now, Corey, get it together. Oh, when you say what you need to say, we have got to talk about before we get off here, Sydney.
Okay, I'm here to bring up Tyrone real quick. He also got put off.
Who's Tyrone? Put off.
Tyrone was the tech guy, the one that... okay, so last week, Tyrone told Carrie, who was, you know, not ready to love.
Pull up pictures.
Tyrone is kind of the tall guy, kind of with like the big eyes, like bald head, the one who... told somebody the first date, I think it was Shiloh, that he suffered from PTSD. He, you know, had been in the service, and he's also in the tech world. So last week he told Carrie that
he went home, right?
He went home this week, but last week he had told Carrie that he felt that she was being aggressive toward him, and a lot of people in videos was like, I don't think she was. And then he basically told her he didn't have the capacity to be able to date more than three women at one given time. And that he liked other people more than he liked her. Okay, that's fine, whatever. It's a dating show. Everybody's dating thing is different. So fast forward to the pool party, he told Sabrina, who they liked each other, that Sabrina could be his woman, but Shiloh could be his wife. But yet they hadn't even been on any kind of date at all. And they had only talked on the phone. And so Sabrina was basically like, how you just gonna cut everybody off and put your eggs into one basket?
Him and Shiloh have never been on a date.
They hadn't been on a date. They had only talked on the phone. Now, we only on episode 5 also. So they hadn't been on a date at all. Now, you know, sometimes we don't see a lot of the dates because they happen outside of the cameras. But usually, like what we've seen in the past, is the cast will mention and say like, oh, yeah, Tyrone and Shiloh went to the African American Arts Museum, but it wasn't caught on camera. You know what I'm saying? Usually they'll mention it or something. But no, they hadn't been on any kind of date. I believe they had only talked on the phone. But he was telling Sabrina this, who actually he liked and she liked him. And she was like, how you gonna tell me that and just cut off everybody and you don't even know where she stands and you didn't already put your eggs all into one basket? So then he went over and talked to Shiloh and told her the same thing. And basically at the table at the ladies' lounge, he ended up getting voted off. Now, I'm going to say this. As someone in the tech industry, in the IT industry, sometimes we are weird. I know I have my own course, but that was even before I got into the tech industry. But even getting the tech industry probably intensified some of my craziness from job experiences. But sometimes with us in the tech industry, we do tend to be quirky. We tend to be witty. We kind of be standoffish. We can be aloof. It can be people don't like the way we can be matter of fact. I have seen the gamut. I have seen people who are extremely, extremely nice. And then ran into people in the tech world that are basically the devil's spawn. So it just kind of depends. But we do tend to get labeled as like when I'm in class and I'm mentor, like I'm part of a program where I mentor like up and coming people that want to get into the IT field. I tell them that everybody is not the guy that you see on TV that like is in their mama's basement over in the corner with like 85 pizza boxes, you know, stacked up. And we part of like the hacking black hat hacking society. Like that's not how we all, you know, all are, and all extra like, you know, like weird. We're not all like that. But because I've read a lot of comments that people were like, Tyrone is weird, this, that, and the other. Now, coupled with his personality is his PTSD. I think that's what makes him be kind of the way he is. Because to me, I see it as he's like real matter of fact, and it's like no personality is behind it. So that's what I kind of see. And he has to drill down to what he can handle. And even when he said he could only handle dating three women, I thought that was kind of a lot from what I read from his personality. I really could only see him dating one. And I'll speak for myself. Me, like people have told me to get one, you know, if I get back into the dating field, that I should date multiple people. Absolutely not. I got to do it one at a time. I can't remember what I did yesterday, so I definitely ain't gonna remember what I talked to.
Was it me and you that went to the park? I was a little buddy. I don't remember.
Right. What did we talk about? We just met like 2 days ago. We ain't talking. Right. Like this is our first time talking. No, I can't remember.
Mm-mm. How's your grandmother? My grandmama dead. We come back.
We didn't go over our house.
Oh my god.
So I can kind of understand his personality a little bit. So I'm not going to be too hard on him, but what we have seen is usually the women put all their eggs into one basket and get thrown off. And then kind of like example, Vernicia and Joe, Denise and Calfani, Rashid and is it Adriana or Adrena or whatever her name
is? Adriana.
Was. Adriana, Tondi, and what's his name? Mario? I think so. From season two,
Tondi and Mario, I think that's what his name was. So we've seen a lot of times where usually the women who will put all their eggs into one basket, and then when it doesn't work out, you know, it doesn't really work out well. So
but they did with old boy. What I hate that they do on the show is what? That they got rid of him. He found somebody that he was interested in, and what's her name again?
Shallow.
She wasn't saying no. She just wanted an opportunity to get to know him more,
and actually date around.
Yeah, and because he wasn't interested in nobody else, what's wrong with a man who knows what he wants and finds somebody that he wants? Somebody like Tyrone, I appreciate that because he didn't see these other women. He didn't want them. He told that Korean girl, that Korean girl, he said, I could date you, but I see myself marrying her. They want the men to be honest, right? He was honest. He was honest with old girl. I didn't like his the word aggressive that he used with her.
With Carrie, yeah.
Yeah, with Carrie. But he was honest. He was honest with the Korean, non-Korean girl. But I'm sorry. Because she, the first thing she said, I'm from Korean. I was born in Korea. And then he's like, oh, and you know,
probably know this thing. Yeah. And she was like, no. Like,
oh, I don't know Korea. It's like, no, I don't know Korea.
Okay.
Just say you was born in the States. I mean, because if you tell somebody
if you say I was born there, majority of people usually say, okay, well, you was born there, so more than likely you grew up there. But sometimes people are just born somewhere and then they grow up elsewhere. Yeah, we need clarification. But anyway,
I guess she didn't realize she was gonna run across a man who actually knew Korean, and everybody else would be like, "Ooh, Korea!" Yeah. You know, trying to make it sound all exotic and stuff. Girl, you don't know nothing. You don't know no more than little buddy over here. But I like Tyrone. Tyrone would have gotten my number. Only thing about Tyrone I would have been afraid of, and I ain't gonna lie, is a PTSD issue. Yeah, but if he's being treated, if he is being treated, then he would be fine because you had the chef last season had PTSD. Mm-hmm. And as long as they're being treated, I think at a point Edwin knew he had enough. He just really, because it seemed like talking to him became more of a counseling session. Yeah, like he was getting psychotherapy, you know, and that's when it's time to, okay. But I can appreciate a man who this is what he wants. And so he's done looking at everybody else.
Now, what I think for me, I mean, maybe need to go back and watch that part because I didn't really get a gist of that. He was going to get voted off. They were going to vote two people off. I didn't get that. I knew Corey was probably out the door. Excuse me, y'all. I knew Corey was probably out the door. But I knew Tyrone was brought up, but nobody else really had a connection with him, which I could see why he was voted off. But then I don't think I don't know if his offense was like on the same level as Corey's. You know what I mean? Like I knew they talked about him, but I didn't realize that. I think maybe because he got voted off because he had told Carrie what he said, and then he called told Carrie what he said, and then called Shiloh and explained it to her, and then he also called her aggressive, and then he told Sabrina, you know, you can be my woman, but she can be my wife. So I think maybe, and nobody else really had a connection with him. So I think that's maybe why he was voted out. But I thought Corey was the only one that's going to get voted out. And maybe Tyrone would have went to maybe the next week, because it seemed like Shiloh was interested in him and they could have possibly went on a date. I would have liked to see them on a date and then he get
get voted off, not the date to be eliminated. So okay,
that's
so
what they need to do for next season. They need to, when people,
girl, Tommy, we don't listen to nobody.
We didn't told them this before.
We didn't like, tell them a whole lot of stuff. Yeah, they don't listen. They don't listen to the fans at all.
Because Shallow could have, Tyrone could have just went on off to the side. Because they were where they live. You continue to do that, but you date Shallow in the process, but you just don't come to these functions, but you find time and date Shallow in the process. That way she can continue with her journey. She can date the people at the house, then find her time to date old boy, and she can see if she still wants, if she's still interested in Tyrone. But it's like, when you find a connection, you're punished. Because, well, now you gotta go.
And even if they had kept him on there, because it's a whole bunch of that stuff that they don't show. So you have to go to the own YouTube page to see all the clips. And I need to go back and catch up on a lot of the clips, because it's a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, it's not
on the
shown.
YouTube?
On the YouTube, yeah. If you go over to the own channel on YouTube, it's a whole bunch of clips. So it's clips for all their shows.
Just extend the dang on episode.
That's why I don't know why they don't just do two hours. I would just rather have a 2-hour episode. But anyway, I would have rather seen them go on a date and then it be over there and then come back and be like, okay, it didn't go well. Okay, so real quick, two new additions. Girl, why was I going to say Steven Universe? That is a damn cartoon. What is the new guy's name?
Yes, it is.
What is the new guy's name? Is it Steve?
Call him, it's two I'm calling him Dumbo.
Is it Steve? Girl, what in the hell is the two people's name? Okay, what was you going to say about Sydney? And then we're going to get out of here.
I don't like Sydney. Why? I'll tell you why. I don't like Sydney because
I'm gonna look up the other guys. Now.
The first thing she said when she came onto this thing was, I can't stand this about women. I don't want a man to see me for my body, because what's on the inside is even better than what's on the outside, or something like that. And I'm like, okay, but yet you come outside half naked. Tommy is so freaking disrespectful. Usually if he sees a woman that is attractive or whatever physically, he don't say nothing. This season he didn't make comments. He made comments about that teacher, and he was like, I see what y'all talking about.
Yeah, but
and
remember, then, he's still a man.
But keep it to yourself. You a married man. You better keep it to your damn self, because he didn't do it season 1, 2, 1, 2, and 3. Now, according to OWN Network, he didn't do it season 1, 56, and 4. But
somebody at OWN can't count.
Girl, because you know they're throwing off on the dangle. Oh,
they can't count.
Oh, my God. They got Tommy listed as 101 years old. But even when Sydney came out, he's like, damn, like, come on, Tommy, really? Like, that's disrespectful. But my issue with Sydney, beautiful girl. However, don't say, I want a man to see me for what's on the inside and not on the outside. Well, stop exposing your outsides, because even when they went on their second date, she was dressed like she was about to go do a triathlon.
Like to jazz and science. I thought that was weird too. I wonder if production told her that they were maybe going to the park, and that's why she dressed like that, or they were going to exercise versus going to a selfie museum. Because to me, in my mind, I feel like Sydney would be is a cute girl or cute woman, and she would dress up like, you know what I'm saying, like she looks like that, she dresses well. And so that's why I was like, because she was like, it's hot outside, and I was like, yeah, it is hot outside, but y'all inside in the selfie museum, which I know we have her. That's what I was thinking. Maybe they told her she was going elsewhere, and then on the way to shoot the scene, it was too late for her to go back and change, and she didn't bring anything else. And they decided maybe they couldn't shoot in the park that day, And then they decided, girl, you know, I make some scenarios.
I talked to the producers and they said, no, that ain't what it was. They said that's what she wanted to wear. And, you know, and then
I'm still
so looking. She I'm said, listening. Let me see. What is mm-hmm. about? And so then okay. she said, so Cornelius, when it came, nope, not Cornelius, the bar dude, the guy who owns the bar,
Frank with the smile.
You're yes. They know each other from nightlife. And well, she's like, oh, Frank is just perfect. So why haven't y'all dated?
They run in the same circles. And she said, yeah, I know we run in the same. So he said we run in the same circles. We have friends in common, but I know her from the nightlife. And I'm thinking, well, what kind of, like, is she an event planner? Is she
some kind of entrepreneur?
I'm still looking for her profile. Sean. Okay. So Sean is, it was, okay. Girl, I said Steven. So Sean was a new guy. He's a 44-year-old creative and journalist whose last
relationship was. They said he was unemployed. Girl,
he was Tommy. Because he said, I create stuff. Now listen. I don't know. I don't know why somebody didn't get some of Corey's index cards and let him write down what he actually did so they could put it on the screen.
My God.
And nobody prepped him, because I'm not gonna lie, if that had been me out there and he just says I create stuff, I would have been like, sir, I need you to give me, like, what do you create? Do you create art? Mm-hmm. Do you digital? Are you in marketing? Do you do educate? Is it educational stuff? Do you, you know, make Lego figures? Like, what the hell do you create? Like, I would like to know. Now, even like Sydney said, she's an entrepreneur. I still want to know what the hell she, you know, she does. Like, I don't think they prep them well to come out with their general information. Okay, here's Sydney.
I don't like how they're not giving, and I hate to refer to her as the heavy girl, but I really don't know her name.
Tasia.
I hate that they're not giving her a lot of camera time. It's almost like they're keeping her around, but they ain't really putting her in the camera.
Okay.
Like, who is she feeling? Who's feeling her?
Nobody. She'll probably be gone next time. So I'm gonna say this and then so we can get off here. I believe we said this in the past. We probably haven't, but I'm gonna say it again because I don't remember. I would like to see, actually, I was watching Ages and Stages podcast, which is Rashad and Simone from season three when they were all in the house that season. Simone says something about kind of along the lines of the plus size women or something she was saying. And Rashad said something along the lines, and don't quote me, y'all can go back and watch it yourself. But it was something along the lines of they're supposed to do the screening or the application. I would like to see what the application looks like and what the questions are when it comes to plus size women, fat women, overweight women, fluffy women, the average size women. I would like to see what the whatever they have on the actual application. I would like to see what the question or questions are on the application. And then I would also like to see what men answer. What is the average? What's that thing we learned? The mean, what is it? The mean, median, and mode that we learned. I want to see that. Give me that so I can see, because I believe I've said before, I feel like they only pick maybe two. They pick one technically plus size woman, and then they pick somebody that's extra thick, kind of how they did like we just talked about, I think last week, Tressa and Vernicia. and on last season. And I know that there are plenty of men out there that like plus size women. It's plenty of them out there. But what I don't understand is whoever's doing the casting, it just feels like they don't really pick any of the men that actually like plus size women. In my mind, and from what I see, I feel like it's tolerated, and it's almost because it's mandatory. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we got to go on a date with, you know, we got to date around. So we pretty much got to talk to everybody. But it just does not feel welcoming or natural when it's the plus size woman. It's always like we've said that, oh, she's, you know, she's a homie. She can be the good friend. That's that. I would just like to see, like I said, what the application looks like and what the answers are. And I would like to see the especially the applications for men who say they like women, and I want to like plus size women, and see what they actually look like, and why they are not being picked for the show.
There was one dude on there this season who actually said that he didn't say he didn't like plus size women, but he said he wants a woman who is in natural shape or in tone shape. Or something see, like that's that.
Different. That's different. Usually when they say that, they want a athletic build woman. That's totally different. Now, granted, you can be plus size and be in shape. Absolutely. I know people don't think that you can. But you absolutely can. You can be plus size and be healthy. And I'll give you a good example. And we'll get off here. One of my old coworkers, when I lived in Frankfurt, her sister was kind of tall, and they were heavy set. They were probably like 5'8", you know. And her sister was plus size, but she swam 7 days a week. Seven days a week at the local YMCA in Frankfurt. She swam for like an hour or two, but she was still plus size. But I remember her sister telling me that when she, you know, went to the doctor was like, you probably have the best heart that I've ever seen anybody have, or whatever the case may be. But people just, you know, automatically assume because she was plus size and she was completely, you know, unhealthy. But I know that's a sad note, but yeah, I would just like to see the application. So, all right. I think that's enough for the evening.
But next time we got to talk about, oh, hold on. First, is Cornelius a Kappa?
I don't know. I know Corey was, and I know Tommy's a Kappa.
Because old girl said, the theater teacher said, I see you with your Kappa shoes on. And he just laughed, and they didn't say nothing else. It's when they was at that photo thing. I'm a jigging.
I don't know, because I haven't heard anybody else say anything. I know Rashad from season three in the house. I know he was a Kappa. But I think David was a Kappa as well. But hell, is anybody else? Is it all Kappas? Damn, ain't no Alphas, no Qs, no Sigmas, no Iotas. Ain't nobody else. Like, is it Tommy recruiting just all Kappas?
I guess,
and
look, girl.
And the thing is, some of them Kappas ain't. But I'm going to be quiet on the show.
That's the last time, I swear, I'm going to say. For the next episode, Sharice, I'm going to have a sticky note. So with your list, we need to add, because Sean, when he went on a date with the beauty shop owner, I can't think of
Aisha,
her name.
I like her.
Aisha.
Something about her, too. I like her.
When they went on a date, one of the things, they were really getting along, but then the issue with kids. Uh-huh. And she said something about your lineage. So even me and Steve had this conversation yesterday. We were walking. But I want to talk about how important is a lineage to a man. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to change up that question a little bit, but you know, like if you have a woman who, so I was trying to explain to my husband, there's a difference between dating a woman who says, I don't want to have any children, but yet she has not had surgery to make that permanent, versus a woman who says, I'm not having any more kids, or I don't want any kids, and she's had surgery. You know what I'm saying? So I want to a surgery to prevent her from being able to have kids. So I want to talk about that. And then the other thing, darn it. Oh, for Ready to Love, I want to talk about the possibility, like if they had a show, because now you have people, I guess, is it fluid I'm thinking about, but bisexual people. I would like to see the male and the female, but also have some men who are bisexual on there.
Girl, they want it. Ain't gonna fly.
Oh, I would love to see it, Sharice. And then who does the guy go for? Does he go for the woman? Does he go for the man? Oh, I would love to see that.
See how that dynamic will work. Okay, it's something to think about. All right, good people. I am Corey's back to school special, 50% off index study cards. And who are you?
I'm Shine's ears, because they just stood out to me. And that's why I call them Dumbo.
And we will see y'all next week. Bye.
Oh, Lord Jesus.